Good evening. Allow me just a moment to say a couple of thank yous as we begin tonight. First of all, to our brother David Wade for being ready to go and present a wonderful lesson this morning on the resurrection. I know it was a great benefit. Wish I could have heard it. But Roy and I both were away, and we're grateful for the opportunity to provide others the opportunity like today. And we've had a tremendous weekend with Lads to Leaders. This is the 45th year, and I'm not sure exactly what year this is for the Henderson congregation, but I would think somewhere around 20 that we've been involved in the program, Gary. And we're led in that effort by the Killer Bees, Bloomingburg, Barber, Bolton, Bill, and Shay. And so we're thankful for all of their efforts, and then the team that it takes of parents as well as our precious youth. There are 127 from the congregation that were there at least, and I know that takes a bite out of our attendance this morning, but we're grateful for that good influence. Lads to Leaders is the most continuous year-round program of training in the church, and the absolute best year-round training, I think, and 20,000 participants and six different conventions, 9,000 of those being in Nashville and about 8,000 in worship this morning, and we want to make another reference to that before we conclude. But we're very thankful for everyone that has a part. Speaking of another killer bee, Brandon Young is the one who is responsible for these beautiful green shirts that I was supposed to be wearing tonight. Brandon, Mark, I apologize for that, but anyway, it isn't easy being green, but this group is definitely the shining light, I think, out of all the groups that were there. You'd be very, very proud of what they accomplish. The theme this year is, "Here am I, send me," Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Our youth have heard that not only for the past year, but in particular all through the weekend. You'll remember the text being from the story of how Isaiah, as a young man, was called to be a prophet. Isaiah would eventually spend the remaining 50 years of his life from the time that the Lord appeared to him and called him directly to be a prophet. It is much like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and having the opportunity to see the Lord Jesus raised from the dead, which again is one of the great proofs that we have of our faith. And in this story in Isaiah chapter 6, I'd like for us to look at it together, these eight verses in particular, and then make an application along the way to how it applies to us, and then again another reference or so to the program this weekend. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, or lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. I want us to make application tonight. Our young people have been doing this, taking to heart, I can tell you, very sincerely and very seriously, this expression, "Here am I, send me." It has not been just in preparation for a convention or for a competition, but from what I can tell, they have taken it very seriously. Not just our group, but that group that was assembled at the convention we had the opportunity to attend. I'd like for us to apply it to us. First of all, I would like for us to see in the text the idea that we must see what Isaiah saw. And obviously, this is through the eye of faith. He had the opportunity to see a revelation from the Lord directly, but you and I need to see what he saw before we can truly become the people that he needs us to be, the church that he needs us to be, both now and the days and the years to come until he comes. What is it that Isaiah had the opportunity to see? Well, there's no question that what the revelation was all about was the presence of God. There's no question when you read these first four verses of Isaiah 6 that he saw the power that God has just by his very presence. The very throne of God, representing heaven itself, is trembling and is being filled with smoke at the very presence of God. And then there's the seraphim, there's the angels surrounding the throne of God, and really any who would inhabit the celestial city of heaven itself who would be filled with the praise of God. I want to suggest to you that you and I cannot be serious about saying, "Here am I, send me," unless we really are thoroughly convinced about the presence of God. Not in a church building, but in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. And we're carrying that presence with us wherever we go. This is one reason why that all prayer does not occur as a result of an assembly with bowed heads. There are times when often through the day we say prayers audibly, and sometimes we say prayers from within us because we are aware of God's presence. We live in his presence. We do so in fear, but not in the kind of fear that those who tremble before the judgment bar of God, in the kind of reverence that God both demands and deserves. We also are aware of his power. We understand his power as far as being creator and sustainer of the universe. We understand his power in terms of being the ultimate judge of the world and the triumph that he is going to enjoy once and for all over Satan and all of his evil influences, all the bad things that happen in the world. We're impressed with that tremendous power. In fact, as the world thinks today about something like the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we think about it every day, hopefully, but as the world thinks about the reality of that event more than 2,000 years ago, Paul makes it very clear in Romans 1:4 that it is by the power of God, Romans 1:4, that we have the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Well, that power lives within us. We are people of faith. That does not mean that we wish so, we think so, we hope so, but we don't know so. We're people of faith, we're people of conviction, we're people of courage. We speak up and we speak out, we stand on what we believe. There are things we stand for, there are things we will not stand for. Why? Because we have seen the one that Isaiah was able to see by means of a vision, by means of a revelation. Only then are we able to say, more than just quoting a verse or reading a text, "Here am I, send me." I too have seen the Lord. I have seen his presence. I've seen his power. I have seen those who praise him with their very lives. And as a result, I want to be a part of that as well. Secondly, we need to sense what Isaiah sensed in verses 5 through 7. I said, Isaiah speaking, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, a man of unclean lips, who live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." One of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity has been taken away and your sin is forgiven." Imagine hearing that from a messenger of the Lord. In this case, an angel of the Lord, which is what angels are. But this is the message that you get to hear as well, that we get to be reminded of every time we read the Word and every time that we have visits with those of like precious faith, and every time that we worship and have Bible study and messages are presented from the pulpit, that is the good news, that your iniquity has been taken away, your sin is forgiven. That will never happen unless we see ourselves for what we really are, unless we see ourselves for who we are, like Isaiah did. In all humility, he said, I do not deserve to be here. I do not deserve to see what I'm seeing, or to hear what I'm hearing, or in particular, to see the one that I am seeing. And neither do we. We are here as a matter not really of responsibility in this assembly tonight, but as a matter of privilege. Yes, there are many who choose not to assemble, but you have. And when we come into the assembly, we do so sensing, hopefully, what Isaiah sensed. Someone who needs to be here because we need cleansing. And so as a result of seeing God, not only was there the matter of guilt that we freely confessed, but there's the matter of cleansing. In our case, as was the case at Pentecost when the gospel was first preached, sins were forgiven as a result of responding to an invitation that said, repent, turn from the life of sin, turn from the life of unbelief, turn from the life of immorality, turn from the life of indifference, turn from the life of being guilty of the murderer of the very Son of God. Turn from that. And they did, 3,000 did, and were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of all of those sins, in particular that one, the murder of God's only Son. And they became new creations, members of the Lord's church, the very first members of the Lord's church. What a tremendous beginning. And as we follow that, all through the book of Acts, you will find in all the conversion stories that simple pattern. People who repented as a result of belief, and people who had seasons of refreshing or who had cleansing as a result of sins being washed away. In fact, we're not told this particular expression when Saul was converted in Acts chapter 9, but he tells it himself in chapter 22. When he's talking to that mob in Jerusalem who would lynch him right there upon the streets of Jerusalem if they could possibly get away with it, had the opportunity to do so, he gives explanation for becoming a Christian by saying that he heard the words of the Lord as the Lord appeared to him and said, or at least Ananias appeared to him and said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We go through the same process. We cannot say, here am I, send me, until we sense what Isaiah sensed. We cannot say that I will go anywhere into the world without recognizing my own condition and the need for that condition to be changed. To go from a member of the kingdom of Satan to a member of the kingdom of God. And that transition is made in the obedience to the gospel, including being baptized into Christ. And then thirdly, we need also to say what Isaiah said. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me. I've often wondered as I look at this passage, if Isaiah looked around to see if there was anyone else nearby, was anyone else receiving the revelation? Probably not the case. I mean, the case that revelation was being made directly to him, so there probably were not those around as well. But imagine looking around to see if there was anyone else, and there was no one else. And so whether there was or not, or whether he looked around or not, he still responded in this classic way, here am I, send me. In other words, he may not have thought very much of himself. There were those who were very reluctant respondents to the call of God. You're familiar with the excuses of Moses. You're familiar with Jeremiah, a prophet of near the same time of Isaiah. Prophet who we regard as one of the major prophets, one of the weeping prophets, but who talked about his youth. Why? How could God use him? He was so young. And there are various others like that, and yet they said yes. But we can't say, here am I, send me, unless we see and hear the one who is high and lifted up, until we see our need for cleansing and the availability that we have to cleansing through the Lord's church, through the gospel message. And then we have the opportunity, along with Isaiah, to say, well, I am available. And some are more so than others, but we are all available in one way or the other. We're not talking about just those who are available to make trips. We're talking about those who are available where they are with what they have. Those who are able. There are too many of us who underestimate ourselves, who underestimate our abilities, who underestimate our influence, our impact. There are too few of us who say, I am agreeable to what you would have me to do. We can't say all of that, though, until we see and sense and say what Isaiah said. This morning, there were four or five outstanding young men, winners of speech competition, who presented the message for a worship service of 8,000. That may very well be the largest congregation, I suppose. I do not know of one larger than that. When you put all those congregations together and have a worship service that really is unforgettable, those young men went to the microphone, and this happens every year. Many of them come to Freed Hardeman, of course. And they go to the microphone, and they stand and speak as though they have been speaking and preaching for many years. And I'm telling you, they mean what they say. One of the young men this morning talked about the various ways in which you can carry out, here am I, send me. Again, the limitations that some people put on themselves can all be removed when you remember what this young man said. Wherever your feet are, that is where your mission field is. I'd like for you to remember that. Wherever your feet are, there is your mission field. Now you see, there may very well be someone sitting right next to you that is a mission field. And there may be someone that you are helping in some way, someone with whom you are working, someone that you are teaching, someone that you are trying to encourage, someone with whom you have a difficult relationship, and you may think, boy, the last thing in the world that they're interested in is the Lord. I have had that impression of some people before, and I've repented of it. Because every time that you conclude that someone would not be interested and you not even try, then you fail to realize that they will never forget, even if they may laugh at you, that you cared enough to say something to them about them. That's the most important thing to them. And in particular, their eternal soul. And so wherever our feet happen to be is where our mission field happens to be. I want to close tonight with another Lads to Leaders related story that I just happened to come across after arriving home this afternoon. A Facebook post from a former student. In fact, she and her husband are now missionaries in Tanzania, Africa. This is from Tiffany Gaines, whose husband is Daniel. I remember them so very well. And they now have children of their own, one of which, a 12-year-old by the name of Abby, has been participating in some way. This is unbelievable that you can do this, but has been participating in Lads ever since she first memorized three verses at 18 months old. And Abby had to submit her competition items this year all the way from Tanzania. But the title of this little article is Why I Will Not Be at the Lads Convention This Year. And it's written by her mom, Tiffany. And it's just an excerpt, but I think it really says what we're talking about tonight. And I hope that you'll take it to heart. This year, we will not be at convention. And in particular, they were apart. They've been apart because of Daniel's ministries in other parts of the country at other conventions, but in recent years in Nashville. We will not be there this year. Abby was able to send in many pre-convention entries via the internet. She is heartbroken that she will not be there to perform a puppet skit with friends, give a speech, as well as lead singing. She wishes that she could see her current friends as well as her past friends from so many congregations. For Abby, Lads to Leaders, and the holiday of, or at least the special Lord's Day of Easter are connected, and it just isn't the same not being there. However, I found it happily ironic that this year's theme for Lads is Here Am I, Send Me, because Abby is living the theme. She has gone into all the world. While she will not be at convention this year, she's using daily the knowledge and skills that Lads to Leaders in God's Word has provided her. She is not afraid to teach. She's not afraid to lead singing. She's not afraid to lead her friends and adult ladies in prayer out loud. She's willing to help teach the Tanzanians in any way that a 12-year-old girl can. She left her comfortable home, her best friends, her wonderful school, and her family behind to help save souls in a foreign country. That's a tough row for anyone to hoe, much less a middle schooler. We will miss Lads Convention so much this year, but I couldn't be prouder of my Abby walking the walk. I wish all of you the best of luck at convention. Keep those arms up for puppets. Speak loud and clear. Perfect your arm movements for song leading. And most of all, keep a great attitude. You are learning to go into all the world. You will use these skills to teach others about Christ. You can help others go to heaven, because if you miss heaven, you miss everything. Well, I think we have an indication as to why there's a 12-year-old girl who's been involved in something like this since the age of 18 months. That's a tremendous tribute from, obviously, a very proud mom, but it's multiplied by hundreds and by thousands in our brotherhood. We have great, great people in the Lord's church, but we have so much to do. It always begins where we are. Wherever our feet happen to be is our mission field. Wherever our hands are, they need to be busy. And while, yes, we talk too much on occasion about all the superfluous things in the world, let's not forget the most serious thing about which to speak. We cannot say, "Here am I, send me," until we love the Lord with all that we've got and that we love people as much as we love those who are the very closest and dearest to us. And that's why we sing tonight. We sing to encourage. Maybe there is one who is ready to step out. Or maybe even after services, you want to say to one of the elders, one of our ministers, any of us, I am ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I am ready to have my sins washed away, just like Saul long ago. And again, if those at Pentecost can be saved, if Saul can be saved, then yes, I can too, right? And the answer is absolutely. We go through the very same process. But for the rest of us, let's take advantage of learning from these precious young people who really are dedicated, who are determined, and who are incredible in developing talents and skills. Let's encourage them. And let's sing together to encourage anyone who needs to respond while we stand, while we sing.